Big Blue Insider is on News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com. Get on the show. Call 280-CATS. That's 280-2287. Or toll free at 1-800-606-GAME. That's 1-800-606-4263. Big Blue Insider is brought to you by UK Healthcare. Now, here's Dick Gabriel. Hey!
Welcome to the Big Blue Insider. Dick Gabriel with you on location. Curtis is in the studio, and it's going to be that kind of night. We've got a lot going on. So for our first hour, we are going to talk about the Children's Charity Golf Tournament. It is the annual event here where Lexington really puts on its best face, and we raise literally hundreds of thousands of dollars in 1 week, and millions over the last many years for Children's Charities of the Bluegrass. The golf tournament in a little bit of jeopardy this weekend because of the rain. There's just not a whole lot you can do about that. But the one thing we do know is that our celebrities and our benefactors love to get together and have a little bit of a party. And on this particular night here at the Bluegrass Ballroom at the Civic Center downtown, there is what we call the cabaret show. Many of our celebrities are singers, songwriters, performers from Nashville, from L.A. They are absolutely sensational. Many of them have written top songs, number one songs, and they play them for us. And the show they put on here is just sensational. So it's a great way to get the weekend. They've already started the weekend, but it's a great way to formally kick things off. So we'll be here with you until the top of the hour. At that point, Curtis is going to take over and keep you posted on what's going on with the NBA draft. Curtis, I haven't seen anything lately. I've been looking at Twitter off and on, but have I missed anything? Or has everyone pretty much settled in? No last-minute trades, am I right?
No trades in the last 5 minutes, but just keep checking because something's going to break, I think.
Yeah. Do you really? You think so?
I don't know. Everyone just keeps talking, and I was going to ask you if Kristaps Porzingis is down there tonight and celebrities, you guys could get some kind of exclusive interview.
I don't see anybody who's tall down here. You know what's so funny about that is, and you were talking about this the other night, the fact that the New York fans will boo, you know, and it's in Brooklyn. The draft is happening at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, but of course Knicks fans are everywhere, and they can't wait to boo. I would think unless they draft Kareem Abdul-Jabbar back from the 1971 UCLA team, they're going to boo. Mm-hmm. But they booed when they drafted Porzingis, and now they're going nuts, aren't they, at the prospect of losing him.
Yeah, it's kind of just funny. It's the circle of life as a Knicks fan. You hate a decision, and then you kind of – it's kind of like the five – steps of grieving or whatever those is. You're angry, and then eventually you get to acceptance. And with Knicks fans, there's a sixth step where you begin to love the player that you initially hated, and now Phil Jackson's trying to trade that guy.
Somewhere in there is denial, but I'm not going to get into that. We'll ask Mike Sofosnik about that the next time he is in town. We will tell you this, that the last mock draft that I chose to look at, and there are 17 of them, has the Sacramento Kings taking both the Kentucky guards. And I will tell you, this is the Bleacher Report mock draft. It's actually the first time I looked at that one, Curtis, but it does make a lot of sense, really. And obviously, it depends on what you believe teams need. But one of the keys is that they've got the Knicks taking the swingman, and I'm not sure how to pronounce his name, Ntilikina, perhaps, from France. Mm-hmm. And if indeed that is the case, then it makes the most sense for Dallas needs a big man. They're going to take, they say, Zach Collins, the kid from Gonzaga, who is a one and done. Can you imagine one and done? That means Malik Monk will be there for the taking when Sacramento rolls around. And everything, we all know the Sacramento is drooling over the prospects of getting De'Aaron Fox, but they would love to have Malik Monk as well. They need him, don't they?
Yeah, without a question. They need as much talent as they can get. And, you know, little credence to that mock draft. Sacramento sent out a tweet, I guess it's been about 45 minutes ago, and it said 2 hours before the picks are made, see who the experts are predicting would join the Kings. And in the little picture, You know, as most visual design teams do, they have some players in the background in this draft picture, and it's Fox and Monk are the two players they chose to highlight.
Aha. Aha. Well, there you go. Let's see. Dennis Smith to Orlando. And Josh Jackson, a guy we've talked a lot about, and Kentucky fans saw him play against their Wildcats. He is the one and done who will go to the Phoenix Suns. So I guess that makes him an honorary Kentucky Wildcat, doesn't it, or a Phoenix Wildcat?
Phoenix will not take a player if he did not play in Rupp Arena.
That's probably very true. All right, we've got some celebrities rolling in, and I am going to attempt to snag one. They open the doors to the ballroom just as we were going on the air. So I will grab somebody, and we will sit them down and talk to them a little bit about the golf and the weather and the Children's Charity Golf Tournament. Doug Flynn, not here yet. The biggest mystery is, has he lost his voice yet? Between stress and talking to a million people all week and hay fever and whatever afflicts him, he it's become a tradition now with the Children's Charity Tournament that he loses his voice. So we will find out if that's the case as soon as we can. And otherwise, we'll get you caught up on what's happening down here. And as I said, at the top of the hour, Curtis will take over and will shepherd you through coverage of the draft, as well as other things. There's a lot more to talk about as well. If you'd like to join us, 280-2287, 800-606-4263. If you become a Sacramento Kings fan, we'd love to hear from you. We're back in just a minute. It's a special edition of the Big Blue Insider. We're live in two spots at the WLAP studio and in the Bluegrass Ballroom here on 630 WLAP. Welcome back to the Big Blue Insider. Dick Gabriel with you in the Bluegrass Ballroom downtown at the Children's Charity Golf Tournament Cabaret Show. And we have snagged not only a celebrity, but one of the all-time favorite celebrities of our tournament. That's Mr. Bubba Gilliam, who is an actor par excellence, a golfer par excellence, and an all-around good guy. Yeah. We have missed you, sir.
Missed 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Well, you have missed Let me identify, Bubba. Now, you're always identified by Blazing Saddles, and I know you're okay with that, but you were a flying Elvis, you know, and you've done much more than Blazing Saddles. But
I've done 52 movies.
52 now. Movies
yeah.
now. Wow.
A lot of big ones.
Yeah.
But nothing will ever take the place of Blazing Saddles for me, you know.
We were talking the other day about movies that when you're spinning the dial and it comes on, you settle on it no matter where it is and you watch the rest.
Yeah.
And that's one of them. You've heard that probably all your career, haven't you?
Yes. Everybody says, you know, I was sitting there, I was in bed the other night and I was switching through and there it was. So I just watched the end till you came on and left and I turned it on something else.
Tell me, you probably have told me this through the years because I've had the pleasure of interviewing you more than once, but how did you get that part?
I had done, I was a fireman in Dallas,
right.
And I had done a picture 4 months before I talked to Mel Brooks. I had done a picture called Paper Moon.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a big picture.
Absolutely.
And I did that while I was a fireman. I saw an article in the Dallas paper that they were looking for something called extras to be in a picture called Paper Moon. Said Ryan O'Neal was the star of the show. I went down to see if I could be an extra, and I wound
up. They mistook you for Ryan O'Neal, though, didn't they?
Yes. They said, you look like Ryan O'Neal. Yes. I'm sitting here trying to make up a lie about that. But anyway, over a 2-week period, I kept meeting those people, and I wound up with the 6th largest part in the picture, a co-starring role, and I like 7 votes, getting an Academy Award nomination.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I think Jodie Foster won one for that.
Tatum O'Neill.
Or Tatum O'Neill, yeah.
But Jodie Foster did, a year and a half later, she did the television series of Paper Moon.
That's what it was.
And I worked with her on that.
No kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like the Forrest Gump of show business. You've probably come across everybody in the business.
I've come across so many people, and they say, well, who have you met? And who have you worked with? And if you ask me that right now, I can tell you about 4 or 5 people, and there are 100 of big stars. And I just, you know, it's just something that I don't even think about. But if I'm sitting here reading, I say, oh, yeah, yeah, Clint Eastwood. I worked with Clint Eastwood.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
Where?
Yeah.
What?
I did a picture called Thunderbolt Lightfoot.
Oh, yeah,
with
yeah, yeah.
Jeff Bridges is in it. Yeah. I've worked with Jeff four times. But that was the first time I'd worked with him.
And in your walk of life with the Children's Charity Tournament, you have met a lot of guys like Johnny Bench and Doug Flynn, people like that. So now you've crossed paths with the sports world.
A lot of big sports people. And I'm a sports buff. If I had been twice as good as I was at baseball, I'd have been in the major leagues. But I wasn't twice as good as I was.
What were you? Pitcher?
I was a second base shortstop.
Middle infield?
Yeah. Yeah. And I got a tryout with the old Washington Senators when I was 17 years old, which was 60 years ago.
Wow.
And I, it was a 3-day camp in Central Texas somewhere. And the third day, that's when they bring each one of them in and tell them if they made it or whatever. And I came in and sat down in front of this guy, and he said, what are you doing here? I said, I want to be a professional baseball player. And I'll never forget. He said, son, you can't hit, you can't run, you can't throw, you ain't fast. You find something you can do. And I was invited to come to the thing.
So you wind up being a firefighter. That was what was one audition that you didn't, where you didn't get the part.
But
that's funny. You know, and ironically enough, as you know, the Washington Senators eventually moved to Texas.
Yes, and they wind up in Texas.
Arlington, Texas.
And Ted Williams is there.
You know, not too far from where you were working as a firefighter.
Yeah.
All right, let me pull you back to Blazing Saddles, because I'm seeing these documentaries about Mel Brooks, and I've heard the stories before. He talked about how the studio wanted him to cut this out, cut that out, take this out.
Yeah.
And he kept saying, you got it, and never cut anything except one line.
Yeah.
They love to talk today, Bubba, about the fact that that movie could not get made today.
No way.
And that's sad.
And yes, it's sad. Yes. And it's as popular today as it was back then. But in that, you would think because of that, it could be made, but it can't. And Mel Brooks knows it. And I talk to Mel every 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And if it could be done again, we'd be doing Blazing Saddles 10. You know.
You know, and what I love about that film is when I see it, it's like, oh yeah, that guy's in it. I mean, you had really an all-star cast for a little bit of a roll of the dice when
that's
it came
right. Out. We did not, at that time, we didn't have a superstar.
Right.
You know, we had Harvey Coleman but none of the others, Madeline was not a superstar. Gene, at that time, was not a superstar, but they became, you know. And
I don't mean to interrupt you, but Gene was not the original choice for that role.
Oh, no.
It was, I've gone blank now.
There were two.
Oh, well, there were two?
When you read Mel Brooks' books that he's written, he will always talk about Gig Young.
Gig Young.
But.
Big star.
Big star. He lasted 2 days.
Drinking problem.
But before that was the guy that played Dizzy Dean.
Dan Daly?
Dan Daly.
I never knew
Dan Daly lasted a couple of days.
Are you impressed I knew that? Are you impressed I knew that?
I've been impressed.
You know one reason?
That's right.
My mother loved that movie.
Oh.
About Dizzy Dean.
She
loved that movie.
One of the great baseball pictures, I think.
When people ask you about, they ask you about that, they ask you about the Flying Elvis movie, but what would you like them to know about some of the other movies you were in? You mentioned Paper Moon.
You know, I'd like for them to know about a little television pilot that I did called The Girl, The Gold Watch, and Everything, and Dynamite. Well, we did two of them, The Girl, The Gold Watch, and Dynamite, The Girl, The Gold Watch, and Everything. And I'm not sure which one was first or second. I've forgotten. But They were both pilots, done about 6 months apart. But they found out in the first one, I had a nice little role.
Yeah.
But they found out in that one that I could carry a picture, even though I was not the star,
right.
The big star.
Right.
So they gave me the role in the second one, and I'd like to call this character's name, and I can't. But they gave me so much to do that I didn't know if I could do carry a picture. I didn't know if I could do scene after scene
right.
after scene,
right.
day after day, and I found out that I could.
Nice.
And when the picture was over, and the last day was my biggest day, the biggest day, and because every scene was on me, and I had to really pull my weight. And when we finished the last scene, they have a car that takes you back and forth.
Yeah.
I got in the back of that car, and the driver didn't know it, I hope. I sat back there and I cried.
No kidding.
Because I found out I could hold my own with the big boys.
Nice.
You know?
Nice.
And it was really, because until that time, I had really thought that I had put something, this was after I'd been in the business about 4 years.
Yeah.
Had thought that maybe I put something over on a lot of people because I really didn't have the talent.
But you had the goods.
But I had the goods. I really found out then that I could remember the lines. And what's more important than remembering the lines is saying them with conviction.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Anybody
can recite lines.
Anybody
yeah.
can recite lines,
where,
yeah.
Where did that come from inside of you? Any idea? You want to be an athlete? You were a firefighter?
I don't know. It comes from, I think, just my basic personality, you know.
You're kind of shy.
Because I have done a lot of the stuff I've done. You know, I have done some mean guy things.
Yeah.
But I don't know who mean guys are. So they give me the stuff that I'm really made of, I think, that comes natural to me.
Well, it absolutely did in Blazing Saddles. It absolutely did in the I can't remember the name of the Flying Elvis movie.
Honeymoon in Vegas.
Yeah.
We're the Flying Elvis of Utah chapter.
That whole scene, you're like, what?
He said, hey, this jumping out of this airplane, that's a done deal. It's easy. And I said, oh, son, there ain't nothing for sure in this business except something. See, I can't remember
that's
what
all
I
right.
said.
You're not on a call sheet today.
Okay,
so, you
good.
Know. Have you ever done that, jumped out of a plane?
I did on that picture.
Did you really?
I jumped 11 times.
No way.
Yeah. I jumped 5 feet into an airbag.
Ah, you got me going. I was about to ask you, was that a static line jump?
But you know,
I have. Once.
That's what I want to do. I wanted to jump one time in that thing, and the director said, I'll send the insurance man over to see. So the insurance man from Universal came over and said, hey, you can jump airplane all you want to as soon as this picture is over.
And you had no desire to do it after that?
I still want to do it. I just haven't had the opportunity.
Well, I tell you, there's a place not far, a couple of places if you're interested, because now everything's a tandem jump, but
yeah,
it's still unbelievable.
Well, did you do the tandem?
I did indeed.
See, I don't know that I want to do the tandem. I want to
be up there on your own.
I want to do it. Yeah.
Well, they'll hook you to a static line now, so you don't have to make any decisions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't want to, you know, as soon as I jump out of the thing, get flustered and pass out.
No.
Forget to pull.
Yeah, no, but it's fun. I've only got about a minute left, really less, about 30 seconds, but are we going to see you in anything else? Are you retired now from
acting? Well, I haven't done a picture now in 2 years, and I've done 52 pictures, but I do commercials. I'll do at least 50 every year.
Well,
that's car commercials.
Let me tell you what, Daniel Day-Lewis just retired. There's plenty of roles out there now for you.
All right. Yes.
Great to see you
Thank
again.
You
I'll see
much.
You this weekend.
All
Thank
right.
You so
Good
much.
To see you. Thank
Bubba
you,
Gilliam. You know him from Blazing Saddles, and you know him from Honeymoon in Vegas and 50-something movies. And we love having him here. We're back in a minute on 630 WLAP.
A torch to light the way. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
In honor of Bubba Gilliam, who just joined us, he was a flying Elvis. So.
Yes, he was. Flying Elvi.
He was one of the flying Elvi. This is Doug Flynn, and I promised our listeners
that you wouldn't have me on?
No, that I would, just because I want to know if you have any voice.
You know, there's not much left, but I'm going to try to summon a little bit up tonight and do a little something on stage with Rudy and Coach Mitchell. We will
One Gatlin?
We're kind of like stepped Gatlins. So it'll be Gatlin Matthews Flynn brothers.
So not all the Gatlins, but outside of the improvement, they'll never know the difference.
We may sign us a deal tonight. We heard there's a couple of people that had heard that Larry's getting a little old and Steve's having surgery, so Matthew and I are going to kind of try out for the gig.
All right, that sounds good. Of course, Doug Flynn is one of the co-chairs of the children, and so is Matthew Mitchell, of the Children's Charity Golf Tournament. I know how much this event means to you. And so many people when we ask them, well, what brings you to our tournament? You know, they always say Doug Flynn or Johnny Bench or whoever. I know that makes you feel good.
Dick, it does, but there used to be a lot of these tournaments all over the country. And so we would go, and then we realized that some of them started dying off. So we started inviting each other to these tournaments so we could keep it alive and keep charities alive that were going to help kids. And then they continue to die. This is our 37th year.
Wow.
And it's because Lexington, to me, is the most giving community I've ever been around of any event I've ever done. And people here are special. Even the ones we invite in who have mental problems. But people here.
When you sit out at a table or in the open, as we are, people are taking shots at Doug.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing he can do about it.
I've got a big bullseye on me anyway.
Yeah.
But the celebrities, it's because we got a chance to meet them and personally invite them. It wasn't like, all right, we don't know who you are. We'd love for you to come to this tournament. No, I do a good tournament. Johnny Bench, Matthew, we think you'll enjoy it. Come spend a week with us, and that's what happens.
You guys are fun.
It is fun, yeah. Well, if it's not fun, I don't want to do it.
That's true, too.
I mean, there's a rumor I got a job with Central Bank, and I don't want to. See, like here, Kenny Anderson, don't you look nice? I mean, it takes a real quarterback to wear that jacket.
But it's red. It's not orange and black.
I know.
You got to appreciate that.
Well, he's getting on me because I send a thing out and say it's business casual. I show up in jeans and a Tommy Bahama.
That's not. You can't.
But
get,
it's their
you
fault.
More
it's their fault because they've been here before. They ought to know better.
That's true. That's
and this
true.
Night is you can put on the dog if you want to, or you can be comfortable. The whole idea is whatever you're comfortable in, that's what we want you to wear.
Do we have new blood in terms of celebrities this year? Because
we
so
have,
many have
yep.
loved to come back.
Yeah, and Dick, quite frankly, and you and I have had this discussion a bunch when it comes to talking about the younger players and younger folks, it's hard to get the young people to commit and to get involved.
Yeah.
And tonight I may say a little something about, you know, a lot of you are here on scholarship. Somebody's paid your ticket. You need to get involved with this. Don't only just be a part of it. Take ownership in it.
Yeah.
But it's getting tougher every year. And look around. A lot of my friends are getting older, and I'm getting older. So I'm hoping somebody's ready like Matthew to step up and take it on.
Well, Matthew's put a lot of energy into this as well, but there are so many of the great celebrities who have come through. Like I mentioned, Bubba had been here in 4 years.
That's right.
But he was here, I think, came to the second one. Is that right?
He came to the second one and didn't miss a one 4 years ago. Yeah.
Something like that. Yep. Yeah. So what I find fascinating about it is a lot of these celebs can and do go to other tournaments, and they're paid an appearance fee and whatever. They are not paid anything but expenses here.
That's it.
But they know about the cause.
Yes.
And they just love that.
Hey, Larry. Yeah, they do. And that's that's the first question I think most of the folks will say is, you know, how much you pay these guys to come in and perform, like the band or the comedians? Nothing. It's a friendship. And so we try to reciprocate and go back and do things for them when they need some help. And to me, that's what friendship's about. You know, it's funny on that celebrity players – golf tour they had. I had one of the guys was here, and he said, how much you paying all those guys? I said, I don't pay them nothing. What? He said, I do a tournament. I pay them all $1,000. I said, that's great. But it's $1,000 going out of the hands of these kids.
Right.
And I said, well, why don't you just call your friends to come in and do you a favor? And he went, Now, I don't know if they'd come, and I start thinking that's sad.
Yeah.
You know, because we can pick up the phone and have 50 celebrities, and some a lot of people say, well, they're not nationally known. No, they are nationally known. They've just got a little older. Go do a little homework on some of the actors and see the things that they've done. It's amazing, and I'm very humbled and very blessed when I look around this room.
All right, I want to talk a little bit of baseball with you. Not the team you're covering now, but the team you and I covered in the spring. And it was interesting because when we first started watching, of course, I had a head start on you with doing the radio games, and we knew they could hit.
Yeah.
And then the pitching came around, and, man, was that a lot of fun?
Every day you went to the ballpark, it was fun.
Yeah.
I mean, our scorebook looked like, I mean, a kid had been coloring on it because they were scoring so many runs, and it kind of caught up to them when they got against, you know, Louisville, which is a really good ball club.
Oh, yeah.
But in that game, Kentucky had chances to win the game. In both of the two games, they got beat.
Right.
Got runners on, just couldn't get that big hit, which was unusual for a team that had done that throughout most of the year.
But when you look at the pitching they were up against, you know, McKay and the kids like that.
Yeah, the number two overall pick in the country.
Yeah, you know. But you spent a lot of time, as I did, but, you know, the guys gravitate to you because they know who you are and what you've accomplished. What jumped out at you about these players when you got to know these guys?
One is how they played for each other. The other was how humble that they were. I mean, Evan White, I love. First of all, defensively, he's as good as anybody's ever seen.
You said that.
Yeah. And I mean, I forgot how many chances he made, two errors in his career?
In his career.
That's ridiculous.
And somebody posted on that on Facebook, and I followed up with, not only that, think of all the other errors that his teammates didn't make.
Exactly.
Because of him.
He makes every infield better just by him being at first base. But there's so many good stories, like a Connor Heady, hurt, injured, gets a chance. For the first time in his 4 years here, he plays healthy and has a very solid year. Riley Mahan. Riley Mahan, okay, he had a pretty good year last year. Terrible at shortstop.
Yeah.
Now they move him to second base. He's one of the top hitters in the country. His power
numbers
were great.
What do you think, Doug, the fact that he not only wasn't making errors at short, but was terrific at second? What did that do for him at the plate? Kind of an obvious
question. Oh, yeah, because a lot of times you will take your hitting out to the field. If you don't get a hit, you'll take it to the field. It will mess with your defense and vice versa. But he'd leave it there. You make a mistake on the field, okay, it's over with. Now I'm an offensive player. And that's what the beauty of the game is. There's two parts to our game, offense and defense. Some people contribute to both. I'm just thankful I could contribute to one.
You played for a few managers in your day, and of course there are coaches as well. But what kind of appreciation do you have for Nick Mangione coming in, inheriting a veteran ball club? Mm-hmm. And part of the advantage he had was these guys had flirted with success under Gary Henderson. And Gary had this program at the top of the polls, as you know, a game from a championship, a game from the Final Four in the SEC tournament. Just couldn't quite push through, and they did so well under a first-year head coach.
Well, the biggest thing is his gift is he's a communicator.
Yeah.
And he doesn't leave any stone unturned in that if there's something going wrong, let's get to it immediately, and let's do it honestly, and let's don't embarrass each other. For instance, when Marcus Carson makes an error in one of the games, it cost him.
Yeah.
He didn't go to it in a tournament.
Yeah.
And he didn't go in there and start ranting and raving. He started looking at the positives that happened in that ball game. When a lot of managers say, we got to suck it up because we're not making all the plays. He didn't do that. His enthusiasm, his confidence building, his communication are gifts and very good coaches. And what Nick is showing us right now, he's not just a very good coach. He could be a great coach.
It's not easy to do either, especially with guys at that age.
No, it's not easy to do with guys at any age.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Trust me. I mean, I know too many people that I had some good managers, and I had some that I didn't think were so good.
Right.
The biggest reason is because of our lack of communication with each other. It goes both ways on a professional level, but especially in college level, because you've got these kids' undivided attention. You can get away with teaching them, so teach them.
One final question for you. I know the weather may not cooperate with us this weekend, but do you just party a little bit longer, or what do you do?
Do we have to? Yeah, we're looking for some different things to try to do. I don't know how they're going to turn out, but that's the
bowling.
Bowling, we thought about it, really. That's one of the things, and as I get older, I'm finally learning that don't worry about the things that you can't control.
That's right.
So we can't. So what I can't control is that these folks, that's my goal.
Thanks, buddy.
You're the best.
Have fun tonight.
Thank you,
pal. All right. That's Doug Flynn. We're back with more celebs in just a minute here on 630 WLAP. All right, that's the Gatlin brothers you're hearing. We're going to hear a Gatlin brother tonight along with Doug Flynn.
Just one of them?
One of them. But also Matthew Mitchell will join in. So like I told Doug, outside of the improvement, they'll never know the difference that the other Gatlins are.
Yes.
There. That's the voice of Scott Henry, who is a longtime friend of the Children's Charity Golf Tournament and is a transplanted now Kentuckian.
Yes.
You moved here 2 years ago?
No, we moved here, but to be honest with you, we got the house in September.
Okay.
And so, but we weren't living in it together for, you know, until recently because,
oh, Matthew Mitchell's making an announcement. We have to soldier on, though, because I can't pick up that.
So, we got the house, but we were, you know, still back in L.A. She's an actor. And,
right.
You know, she was booking a lot of work. She did a, you know, Lethal Weapon episode. She's got a Liberty Mutual commercial running right now. She was on Pure Genius, you know, all that stuff. Of course, when you're getting ready to leave town, it's like being a battered wife, you know what I mean? As soon as you get getting ready to leave, you know, and all of a sudden.
And they drag you back in.
Yeah, so there's a long way to go for that, but it was true. So then recently, we found out she was to Kentucky.
Congratulations.
And that just happened. So we got rid of our, you know, apartment that we had in the interim because we sold our house in like 5 days out there.
Nice.
And it wasn't even on the market. And so, and then we came here. So we've probably been here, what, a good month and a half maybe together
right.
Without our apartment back in L.A. So we're very excited and we absolutely love it.
Scott is a busy, hardworking comedian. Catherine, as Scott said, an actor. And I wanted Catherine to come on because he's made jokes about you for so many years, not only here, you know, but he's always talked about how crazy he is about you. So I wanted to give you the opportunity answer. But you are a working actor.
Yes.
And he posts pictures of you on his Facebook. I've argued with you on Facebook, by the way. You don't know that.
I know. Wait, oh, there's yes, I do. Okay. There's been a couple little things.
You wouldn't be the first.
Yeah. Anyhow.
I'm a contrarian, so.
You absolutely are. No, you're not. Tell me what it's like to be on your side of things, to either be in the audience or know that something you might have said to him in passing about the toaster turns out to be material.
Well, you know, early in our relationship, he used to ask me for to tell certain jokes. He said,
right.
I want to talk about this on stage. I want to talk about this on stage. And being a creative person myself, I said to him, don't hit the edit button on yourself. You can talk about what you want to talk about because it's where the best things come from. So there have been a few things that have made me cringe. But for the most part, it's been okay because Scott doesn't have a mean bone in his body. So nothing comes from a bad, mean-spirited place. And as long as it's all in good fun, I'm fine with that.
How long have you all been together?
Almost 15 years.
Wow. By the way, you're going to learn to say y'all living here?
Yeah,
atta
and
girl.
All y'all.
Atta girl.
That's the right?
That's exactly right. Jeff Picoro.
This is for radio and stuff.
Go away.
If you wouldn't know because.
He was on with me last night.
Was he?
And he missed a segment because he was late. That's a different story.
He's a diva, dude.
That's
you
true.
Look at
that's
him.
Very true. Being a working actor, as we say, one of my best friends is a film editor, works in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And like you, not ever sure where that next job's coming
mm-hmm.
from. And now with the Bambino on the way, how does that complicate things in your career?
Well, it certainly does because I had a lot of work going on right before I got pregnant. And then now that I'm pregnant, it's crickets. So there's not a lot of work for pregnant ladies. So we'll just have to see what happens after the baby comes. But I do have another career as a consultant part-time, so I think that's very important. If for anybody listening that wants to be an actor, you got to have another gig. If you want to feel
stable. And not just waiting tables either, right?
Sure. Well, although you can make great money waiting tables in
that's
L.A.
True,
or
yeah.
bartending.
That's true.
But I do think it's important to have some financial stability
yeah.
so that you don't bring desperation to the table when you're going to audition.
It's very important. And the thing is nobody's worked harder than Catherine. And it's not like now that she's moved to Kentucky that things are over because they shoot a lot of things in Kentucky, as you know. And the great thing about, and she just signed with a really nice agent down in Louisville. And the great thing about, you know, being in a situation like this, let's say the role is between her and another actress back in L.A. or
right.
me and another actor back in L.A. We're what called a local hire. So it's a heck of a lot cheaper to have one of us. Yeah. Plus, you know, when you you have a little more, you know, our experience can stack up a little better than some of the people in this area. We're out in Los Angeles. I would go on auditions. I'm like, that guy was on a series for 4 years. That guy was on a series for 8 years. That guy had his own movie. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And now it's just, you know, we've got a better shot, I think. And Georgia, they just said, you know, Georgia's shot more movies this past year than any other state in the country.
Wow, no kidding.
So, you know, it's I think that it's actually going to help us flourish.
Good.
You know, I believe. But I'm an optimist, man. I always think that. People always ask me, how long are you going to be doing this? And I go, well, I don't know, when I can't hold the mic anymore. And then
and I fall down. And I'll
hold it for him. Yeah,
good.
And then the kid will be next in line to hold it for you.
That's right.
He's
That's
never
right.
retiring.
What was your I was so impressed when Scott made the announcement that he was moving here. And were you there, I think, because you're here some years and some years you're working. But what was the process for both of you when you sat down? Because that's a heck of a decision to not only pick up and leave L.A., but to come to our wonderful state. I'm very biased. I've lived in here, and I've lived in Dallas, Texas, and that's it. Mm-hmm. You know, and I like it here, obviously. So what was that like for you as a family?
You know, it's kind of a weird thing. You know, I don't know if you're a religious person or if you're a person that believes in kind of the universe.
The Packers are playing,
yeah, well, yeah, the Packers are playing. You're like, so, but here's the interesting thing. We're sitting at home. Everything's fine. And for a couple years, we'd been, you know, trying to have children. And then we got interested in the adoption process and everything. And things were, it's difficult. And so one day we're just sitting there. And all of a sudden we hear the mailbox, like 6 o'clock at night or something, open up the mailbox. And there was an offer on our house. Okay? We never end up meeting.
Unsolicited.
Yeah, unsolicited. Just an offer on our house. Well, we never ended up meeting the people or anything. But that night, we were like, well, no, we're not going to move. We can't, you know, and we love our house. Well, we started having some wine, like they do in church. And so, all of a sudden, she's like, where would we even go? And I said, I don't know. You know, the last few years I was in Lexington, I felt like I could live there. And we started talking about it, and we knew so many people here. And then she started looking at schools and started looking at this and that and the other. And by two bottles in, we were, I drank the majority of that, I just want to say. We were moving to Lexington, but it was funny. So we felt like there was some kind of, you know, strange divine intervention that it was like, you're stagnant in your life right now. Here you go. Start thinking about it. And then, you know, of course, our house gets finished in Kentucky. We're in this tiny little apartment in the interim there. And she ends up getting pregnant. I don't know how, but anyway, but that happens. So it's like, it's just this wonderful thing that happened, and it's a great story we can tell our child. So.
And you had been here, obviously, so did you have feelings about Lexington?
Well, it hadn't occurred to me because I grew up on the West Coast, and so if I ever moved out of Los Angeles, I imagined someplace like Portland or Seattle. That was where my mind went to. But the second he said Lexington, I started thinking about all of the things that were on our priority list, you know, very wholesome. There's a university here. It's a great arts community, just the right size. And I said, gosh, that's a great idea. I mean, really, 4 hours later, we had decided.
Wow.
And the next morning, we woke up and looked at each other and said, did we really just decide
that?
That
happened?
Yeah,
yes. And then we didn't tell anybody for a while because we wanted to make sure we weren't being crazy.
Wow.
And then it stuck.
Well, I've got less than a minute. I want to thank you both for coming over. I know this is prime elbow rubbing time, but I so wanted to chat with you because I've been a fan of Scotch for a long time, but I feel like I know you from watching his act, but I've seen your pictures on Facebook. So happy for you for the pregnancy. Look, are you performing tonight?
I'm not. I'm taking, I'm going to take, people have seen me, heard me. I'm going to give a chance to, you know, write a little more stuff. When I come back strong.
We'll see you at the golf course, I'm sure, but we'll see
Absolutely.
You around here, and I'll argue with you again on Facebook.
Absolutely.
All
Thanks
right.
for having us
Very
out
nice
here.
Very nice to meet you.
Nice
Congratulations
you.
On your success with your career, your family, and all that. Glad to have you here in Lexington.
It's our pleasure.
Go have
we
fun.
Love it.
Thank
all right.
you.
Thank you so
Thanks,
much.
Buddy.
Catherine and Scott Henry, who is a terrific comedian. He has performed many times here, but is going to give some other folks a chance tonight. And it's going to be a great show. It always is. I'm going to hand things off now to Curtis Birch, Bo Robinson back there with him. And Curtis will get you through draft coverage and lots of other good stuff. And he'll explain some of his tweets. Sometimes they're hard to understand, but he'll get you through it. Back for hour number two in just a moment here on 630 WLAP.
Thank you for listening to Big Blue Insider. I'm Curtis Birch. You can follow me on Twitter at Curtis Birch, B-U-R-C-H. Be sure to follow at Big Blue Insider 1. Like the Facebook page, just search Big Blue Insider and check out our website, BigBlueInsider.com. Also, subscribe on iTunes and give us a rating. Thanks again for listening.